Yeah, I do, because you referred to our fire as laser flames. So yeah, I remember very well. It's like literally the first thing I remembered coming back into the venue. So yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 203 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and this episode isn't a glitch, but a vice grip on the band that'll have you killing with a smile.
Fucking one day karma is going to get you. This week's episode is the frontman, absolutely fantastic egg, Winston McCall of Parkway fucking Drive. There's no fucking in the middle of the name. I just added it for effect.
Flame lasers.
Flasers!
Are back. We love fire production, we love Australians, and we love everything Parkway Drive. Since Winston's last appearance, the band have been through a lot, conquering great heights of headlining Wacken, one of the biggest metal festivals in the world, but facing some inner issues and regrouping for the release of their most honest album to date, Darker Still, on Epitaph Records. Their live setup, energy, and show is regarded as one of the best in our scene right now, and we were invited to catch up with Winston on the final date of their recent European arena tour backstage in Cardiff, Wales, to dive into the art of production and Parkway's underdog success story. This is a band that you've always been impressed by, Sean, and really felt like we were getting a catch up with an old friend.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. We were talking about this after, right? The difference between massive bands who are doing really well and bands who are doing okay, but are not as big. Big bands and bands like Parkway Drive give us so much access and were so fucking cool to us, right? It's mad. It's just so many things other smaller bands could learn from. They give us a dressing room to do this downstairs at the CIA, formerly the Motorpoint Arena. Winston came in. I wasn't expecting him to remember us because I have a face like a pink balloon, so it's easily forgotten. First thing he said when he came in, "Flasers!" Yeah, we had a fucking blast with him. He remembered it. He loved it. We had a fucking chat about everything. Like you said, I have been impressed by Parkway Drive since they first turned up on the scene. I remember seeing them play a festival, and I was... The first thing I was ever wowed by with Parkway Drive was the crushing riffs. The second was the use of flip-flops as shoes on stage. How the fuck did they get away with that? How did any of them never break their toes or fall over? Well, they probably fucking have, but yeah, so this chat was fucking absolutely excellent. We got deep and dark at some points, which was unexpected. And yeah, I just want to thank Winston again for being so openly honest with us. Because I think if you are suffering from mental health, or you know somebody suffering from mental health, and you're looking for ways to get around it, or, you know, work out how to make life better, this is a good podcast to check out. Because, yeah, there's a couple of ideas in here that Winston talks about that I think that we should all be talking about.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And a massive thanks again for the whole Parkway team for looking after us on that day. And in this episode, we talk literally about everything from the ins and outs of crew and them hiring over 50 people, the band therapy they're going through at the moment and almost breaking up, an unexpected whistle feature on the new record. Learning to sing in German, all tours of Bring Me the Horizon Architects and While She Sleeps, gearing up for the 20th anniversary, and a whole lot more. So make sure you listen to everything on this episode. And before we get into things, just a quick reminder, if you enjoy what we do, you want to support the podcast in any way, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin. You get included into our wonderful community of people that are meeting up on the regular, going to gigs, making plans, and it's just a really wholesome experience. That's patreon.com/Sapnin. But without any further ado, this is the return of Winston McCall from Parkway Drive on episode 203 of Sapnin Podcast.
His fucking jumper was fucking spectacular, but you'll see later in the week now with the fucking pictures going out. Anyway, here's Winston, here's fucking Parkway Drive. Flames! Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I lost my mind then.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sapnin.
Yes!
Back once again, like the renegade master, we have flame laser enthusiast Winston from the mighty, mighty Parkway Drive. How are you?
Connoisseur of the flame laser. I'm doing great.
Good.
Yeah. Great. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad, man. It's been a while. It's been almost 3 years, I think, since last time we saw you. I mean, You are our episode 11.
Wow.
And now we're over 200. So don't know how that's happened.
Jesus. Man, like that's a bit of a time warp.
Yeah.
Way to make me feel real old.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm like that villain that dies off in the first episode, then comes back like season 12. It's like, surprise, it was me the whole time. Flame lasers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bring back more flames than ever.
Oh, no, but how have you been? I mean, just looking at this tour, it seems like it's been like crazy and just you've upped the production to a whole complete of a level. How has it just been coming back over here and doing these shows again?
Good. It's been good. It's been real good. Like, you way to amp it up there. This is our first tour back, full stop. Like, we haven't done a tour since festival season 2019.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, we played one show New Year's Eve, and that was it. It's really nerve-wracking to come back, to be honest. Like, we kind of, it's weird. The whole feeling of being on stage and all of that, like 17 years of muscle memory and feeling and connection bled out completely. So it was like first time we like the first day we were playing, I was like, why does my stomach feel weird? Why am I shaking? Never had that. Like, I can't remember having that in like the last 10 years. And then all of a sudden, pre-show nerves were back and everything. But tour's been sick. Like, so sick, man. It's been literally the best tour we've ever done. It's been nuts.
Class.
Nuts.
Yeah, everything we've seen online is just like, it's been fucking incredible. And yeah, I'm just seeing stills and I'm just like, where the fuck? I can't even work out where the fire's coming from. Yeah. That was just coming out of him.
Yeah.
He's not. What? He's, yeah. He hasn't learned how to fucking expel fire from his head.
How have I?
Yeah. One of the strange side effects of catching COVID is some people have learned to breathe fire.
Breathe fire. That's it. Coming out of the ears, coming out the other holes. It's great.
But yeah, I wanted to talk a bit about production, if that's cool. It's like, because a lot of people see, you know, the pyro and the stage show and stuff like that, but they don't realize the work that goes into that and the costs. And, you know, because there's a cost of energy crisis at the moment.
That's very true.
Yeah,
it can't be cheap to fire up those cannons.
Basically, we put on a show so we can put on a show.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's your equation. Nice. I especially love doing it, like very, very hands-on with it. And essentially, like for me at this stage and where we are, I mean, the concept of the art, what we do is expanded well beyond just the music. It's literally about creating the Parkway Drive world. Like, and that is very physically sitting on stage there. And how deep you want that to go is just determined by your imagination and what you're willing to put into it. And that's it's a ton of work. A lot, like the details are becoming more and more, like even more minutiae in it. Like it's pretty crazy. Just rolling into pre-production this time, it took us a long time to figure this entire show out and how it flows and everything we wanted to put up there on stage and the way we wanted the audience to react. And then, when it actually came time to get there and have all of the stage built and figure out all the choreography and the costuming and the visual design and the sound design and all of these layers where I had it in my brain, but we finally got there and all the different teams that have been separated were all together and was literally like sitting in a building with the stage being built downstairs and there being like four or five different rooms in a row where you're like, there's audio, there's the visual, there's the costuming, there's the strings and choreography, and you just walk into one room and be sitting there for 2 hours just editing something. You're like, right. And then you walk into the next room and do the same thing for another 2 hours and you go, sick, that's good. And then you do that. And we did that for 5 days in a row and I was pulling like 15-hour days just going, is this what? Is this, I can't remember this being part of the job, but that's actually what it is now. But the wild thing is when you see it back and you're like, that's what was in my brain. Fuck, Jesus. How the hell did we think this up? Like, It's really neat. So I just really enjoy that side of it now. And there's a lot of...
Yeah, imagine what like 20-year-old Winston thinks of all this.
Oh, dude, wouldn't even be able to imagine it. It's more like imagine what 7-year-old Winston who went and watched Jesus Christ Superstar for his first gig thought of it. It's like, saw my first laser and was like, one day I will have you. I will have you. One day you will be mine.
Yeah. But it's mad to see like how much effort is put into how these all come about, because I'm sure a lot of people just think, oh, you've just asked for this and people go and do it for you.
But fact, what you do.
But you're so hands-on trying to put your impact on this kind of thing. I'm sure it's just, when you see it for the first time all working out, you're like, oh my God, yes, this is worth all the ideas, all the hours spent.
100%. This is actually like the first record cycle for us where every single aspect has been exactly what it was supposed to be. And that's not saying that we've compromised or anything in the past, but we haven't been at a level where we've been able to articulate our imagination and know the right people to work with to bring that out. Because like for all of the imagination stuff, you still have to have someone who can pull that shit off in whatever field they have. And we work with some incredibly talented people who do all of the things and it all adds up. It's just layer upon layer upon layer of staging or visuals or anything that we've done that goes through the music videos, the artwork on the records, the staging, the crew that put it together, every single part of it. And to have it all work, it's just fulfilling at the end of the day, because it's what it's all about, really. It's really what it's all about. Like, and when you can't fault it, you're just like, cool, doesn't like, I'm stoked. If people get it, I'm like, this is the best version of what it's going to be. So there you go.
Yeah. And that's one thing I think that separates you from a lot of different metal bands is that show and that live performance, that live energy you'd like to kind of bring into these big arenas. And especially on this one, just online, we've seen things about you've got the walkway with fire around you. You've done a few costume changes.
Yeah, I changed from white clothes to black clothes. Nice. Super duper, extravagant. But yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah. Is it literally run off stage, get down to your pants, back in the other. Yeah.
2 minutes, buddy.
Nice.
Two minutes.
Is it?
2 minutes, three people.
Yeah. Time. Dude, no, I was going to say this. Well, yeah.
It's like watching a Formula One car pull into the pit lane. It literally is. It's nuts. We've got it down to like a minute, I think. But
you should have some bolts on your trousers. Just for a minute.
It's fucking close. Off. Yeah, it's close, man. Yeah, wow. It's close, dude. Trust me. It's nuts.
So, yeah, did you get a rehearse? Did you get to rehearse all this a few times beforehand? Or
I think we did like three run-throughs. I did the change by myself like a few times in the dressing room and then realized I need other people to help me do this. I'm like, I can't do pants and shoes at the same time. It's not fast enough. So, it's just we did a few run-throughs and then it's just go. But it was actually really tight just from the first run-through, which also says a lot about the people we're working with who just they've got their shit on dial.
How many are in the touring party?
I think we're in the 50s or 60s. Wow. We're literally the smallest part of this. That's the thing which is tripping us out. There's five guys in a band. The touring party rocks up at like 7 or 8 in the morning, builds this entire world, and then at like 8:30 or 9 in the evening, we go on stage and gig for an hour and a half, and then we get off stage, and then it all packs back down and goes on to the next venue. And it's also just five guys can go up there and play some songs.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's so nuts because especially when you're watching these people do these incredibly like demanding tasks and you get up there and you're like, I'm just doing some music and I can do this without it, like, which is rad. But like to see the passion that goes into everything that everyone else does, it's just super cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And because I'm sure you can still remember the days of playing just random ass towns.
100%.
Like Merthyr Tydfil and all that kind of stuff here. So it just must be mad to see how far you've come. And now you're employing loads of people. It's not just a bunch of you tightly in the van. You're employing
people. That's it. And that's the really weird part about it as well. But we do very much see it as like a collaborative effort with everyone. Like it's not like we're like, we are your boss. That's it's interesting. We're just talking to our set builders and stuff yesterday and like Kai's a rigger by trade and he's like, normally bands don't come out and check on this shit. You guys, like, it's noticed that you guys actually care about what's going on. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like it said, it's not me just going, oh, I'm a nice guy, but like, yeah, it's genuinely interesting. Like it's fascinating to walk into a venue like what we play and see it empty and just go, fuck, someone built this. Someone built every nut and bolt that you see when that door opens and you walk into the gig. They put that together at 7 o'clock in the morning before this was an empty floor. And like a couple of hours after you're gone, that thing's gone and we've driven off. And they'll put it together again in 5 more hours. It's crazy.
I wonder if there's anybody in bands who, like a massive band like yourselves, who has this huge production, who turns up at every venue and go, I can't believe they're the exact production already in the venue.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same as last night. Yeah.
Look, there's even the same markings on the stage. God, it's so precise.
That looks like my handwriting.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, when you're doing big production shows like this, what is actually going through your mind during the performance? Because I'm sure there is a lot of bits on the stage.
Ooh, that's warm.
That's warm. If you take one step wrong, you may be your legs on fire or you've got a flamethrower to the face or something like that. So with the aspect of the crowds going insane, you're trying to do your part of the song, are you actively thinking, right, I need to be over here for this bit, or is it just natural routine now?
So the way we kind of set it up, the cues, like it's in natural spots in the music anyway. It's meant to heighten the music and those generally like those effects are around where you would be anyway. So, and you find yourself like, we have this thing, like you play so many shows that you're used to feeling certain things and it'll drag you to a certain part of the stage during a song. And it's the days when like, you're like, I feel like doing something else. I'll do something different today. And you go over somewhere else and you forget a line and you fuck up or you drop a note or something like that. And so it's that's the most extreme thing that's happened. But like, it's not, it's weird. Like, I'm surrounded by flames and explosions all night. But honestly, the only thing that I really like am focusing on is what I'm doing and the way the crowd is reacting to it. That's it. It's just all about the connection. And the thing is, like, the way we designed this entire show as well was we wanted it to be something where, like, the first thing you see when you come in is like a Jesus fucking Christ, this is enormous. Like, it's cinematic in scope, but the journey that it takes you on is exactly where you think Parkway is would go, and then somewhere different, and then somewhere different again. And then by the end of all of the craziness, you're still just left with five guys on stage singing with an audience. And like, literally the last set song we do has zero production, and it's just about just human connection, and that's it. And it seems to resonate really well. I think it's a really good representation of like who we are as a band. So yeah, it's neat. I'm shocked at like how well the vibe works. Like, it's just really cool. Like, it's just really cool to have that connection grow in that way. And I mean, at the end of the day, we're just designing something which we're like, this is us, hope you like it. And to watch people
love it,
it's, yeah, it's sick, man. It's so sick. It's really cool. It's just a really humbling experience.
Yeah. I want to ask, obviously you mentioned that this is the first show you've really done this year. You were supposed to do some dates in the States, yeah, I believe in January, that got cancelled, and yep, there was a kind of statement put out that you guys needed kind of a break at the moment, and for mental health reasons and things were just a little bit chaotic. Just wanted to check in on that. And so at that time, was it just there was so much going on post-COVID coming back to doing this that you needed a break, or was it just
way more than that?
Yeah, okay.
No, we're pretty fucked. We're really close to breaking up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. yeah, no, we had finally reached a point of like something having to change within the band, basically. Within like essentially like the entire band's existence and the way we communicated and everything had pushed to a point where there was no through roads for any of us properly connecting with communication. It had like bad communication, and it turned to like resentments and that kind of stuff, which is
easily. Yeah, if this. It happens in all bands.
Right? Oh, man, that's like, dude, when like, luckily, like, yeah, Luke was like, we need someone to help us out. And they were like, this is what every company, every business, every band goes through at some point. You need someone to help you get through this. Like, I'm surprised you haven't had to do it earlier. But yeah, and that gave us the opportunity to like essentially enter like band therapy to help us learn how to communicate and how to reconnect again. And that's allowed us to really unpack what basically our band motto before this was just like, keep going and just deal with it. Like, just harden the fuck up, really. And that's what, I mean, that's what everyone, like, that's what men do in society. It's just like, quit whinging, harden up. We did that with each other, and we've been through some shit, and you just be like, whatever, like, we'll talk about it later. Get on with the next tour. And there was just so much stuff that we're like, no, we got to talk about this. We got to actually like acknowledge how difficult this journey's actually been for everyone, and how different it's been for everyone. And it's a long period of life. When some of the people in this band started when they were 16, that's a huge amount of personal growth and existence in a very isolating place.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And yes, it's just a weird world to grow up in, really, as well.
It's insane, like, man.
It's not the same, like. Because we had, we spoke to an author not long ago called Ian Winwood. We were talking about his book, and his book talks about musicians and how we all kind of, we don't like value ourselves sometimes as like good as members of society just mm-hmm. because we've got the different job. And it's not a worse job, and we shouldn't look at it as a worse job.
No.
But everybody in a band feels like, oh, well, I couldn't possibly have a whinge or mourn or feel sad because I'm meant to be in this band. But you're looking after, like you said, your touring party's 50 people. So if, you know, if one of you fucking has a breakdown, and that's the whole thing done. So it's better to get these things fixed, man, and talk about them. And
100%. And it's also like, as much as we don't value it as well, like it's not understood by a lot of people. Like it's very hard to relate to anyone what it's like doing this job, living this life. Like my best friends don't get it. They just don't. My family acknowledges that they don't get it. Fuck, man, the arts is the first thing to get thrown under the bus when anything goes wrong. So as soon as COVID hit, it was just like, oh, just shut up. You've had a good run. You're like, you've still got a job, buddy.
Yeah.
it's an interesting one. But yeah, we're still doing it. That's the thing. It's ongoing as well. It's something that we learned. Like, this is something that is incredibly valuable to just life in general. And we were very quick to realize how amazing the process actually is, and that we don't want it to stop, because it gives a lot to our lives, which is rad. And yeah, here great. We are, man.
Fantastic. Cool. Good.
Yeah. Is there any little tools or anything like that you think other bands really should be focusing on in that downtime?
Yeah, like what? Definitely getting someone else into the band dynamic that's excluded from it was the main thing for us. And I'd recommend that for anyone, because it's not just like the guy that we got, like, is a musician to a degree, but not like nothing like we are. So he's just more of a person listening to people, negotiating relationships. The other value of that is having someone outside of your circle to give you perspective and give you feedback. Because what we found was, like, you go home whenever you're having a problem, you go home to the people you care about and people you love, and you vent to them and you tell them, this is what they're going through. And you're like, yeah, you should feel like you're right to feel like that. But while that's supportive, that just quickens the spiral of anxiety that you're in, of just like, yeah, well, fuck, shit. Yeah. Why doesn't anyone get it? Like, yeah, why doesn't anyone get it? Someone should get it. Why don't they fucking get it? Like, it's, and you need to know who to, like, who's going to give you the feedback to what you need, basically, at that point in time. Because it's not so much just about having good friends around to tell you you're okay and you deserve more. Like,
well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people think having someone supportive is having like a yes person.
Exactly.
But that's not.
And it's friends like, that's the wonderful thing about friends and family, is they do want to support you and love you. And love is like, it's a very hard thing to tell someone you love. Like, yo, you tried looking at it from their perspective, or maybe you're being a little bit crazy right now, something like that. Or just the vulnerability side of things and the protective side of things are both very, very strong. So you need someone that's just kind of neutral in the middle to help you navigate through that. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, I'm glad enjoying this tour a bit more as well. And then the smiles,
oh man, yeah. It's not that we didn't in the past. Yeah. It's just now that you look back on it, like, it was definitely like, I mean, there was a lot of pressure. There's just always been a lot of pressure and a lot of drive, like, because we've known, like, it's pretty insane to feel like the growth is continuing and it's past where you thought it would be. And you're like, shit, if we keep doing this, what's going to happen? This could be rad. You don't want to drop the ball, because you want to see what's around the next corner, through the next door. And when you continually just smashing through them, you're just like, sick, whoa. But the higher you go, the bigger the fall is, kind of thing. Yeah. So you do have that reinforcement of just like, let's talk about it later, just focus on this thing. So yeah, but to be able to come back and do this tour and like, and have that part of it be gone, and just be able to look at my mates on stage and go, we're just gigging, and look at this, and like, the vibe has been mental from fans. Like, I don't know if it's because we've been away for 3 years and they've got more intense in terms of the reaction on stage, or if it's because I've forgotten how intense it was, but I'm literally floored by the energy that's radiating back at us, which is, dude, shocking. Like, shocking, man.
Awesome.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely shocking. It's so sick.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm chuffed for you.
Yeah. But yeah. No, it's fantastic to hear. But mentioning loads of those kind of dreams and you just knocking those doors down on it, is there any in particular you remember being like, whoa, like, how the fuck have we managed to get to this point? How the fuck have we managed to do this? Is there any kind of little achievements along the way that really resonate with you and that you always...
There's tons of them.
Yeah.
There's tons of them. Every there's so many, like, biggest show you're ever going to do. 300 people sold out.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
For real. Yeah. Like, it's the thing. And it was constantly like that, of just like, of these... When you expect to go nowhere, literally nowhere, you don't expect to write a record. You don't expect to ever record anything other than on a tape deck at home. It's all those experiences. The two big latest ones have obviously been recording this record, because there's stuff on there where I'm like, man, I didn't think we could ever write something like this. And now we have, and I'm really, really stoked, let alone pulling it off through COVID, which was a fucking mission. Just like logistically get that thing done. And the fucking set was obviously like a huge, huge moment. It just was like, that was, it was the moment where like, I don't know, like at the time it was nuts. It was nuts in the lead up to it. The concept that like, you're going to headline fucking like, fuck off. Like, and then even like in the run up to it, just going, something's going to go wrong. Yeah. It's going to be pissing down with rain. Yeah. Half the crowd doesn't actually want to watch us. And like, yeah, like 5 minutes before we played, like just getting ready to do that walkthrough and just going, oh shit, everyone's here. It's not a cloud in the sky. Fuck, this is going to happen. And then the set was amazing, was incredible. And I forgot, like, the other thing with that was like, I was so in what we were doing that I can remember acknowledging how amazing it was at the time. But like, the last time I traveled before COVID was to come over for the press for the Viva the Underdogs movie. And I watched the movie at Berlin in like an IMAX cinema and was like, oh, whoa, this is wild. But it was still in the cycle. Didn't watch it again for a year. And then it got picked up by Netflix in Australia, which is which is crazy.
That's
awesome. And then I was like, I'm going to watch this thing again. And it had been a year since I'd played anything. Couldn't remember what it was like to gig or anything. Hadn't seen the movie in a year and I watched it. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. We were doing this?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was?
Oh,
like,
that's the lyrics.
Yeah. Just looking at what it actually was, I was just like, especially after a year of being locked in your house, like, and all of that stuff taking hold, I was like, fuck, that wasn't it. That really happened. That was something really big. So, yeah, it's a bit of a trip.
Yeah. Is that giving you more hunger now to be like, yeah, we want to headline other festivals? Like,
oh, yeah, it does. Like, it's not so much in like, we should be doing things, but like, it's my desire is just to continue doing what we do. And that seems to lead to that. Like, that's the place that it just we gravitate to. And I mean, why not? Someone gives you the option, why not? And why not aim for that in the first place? Like, obviously, if you look at what we're doing, you can see where the passion is being poured. Like, and at this point in time, the bigger the stage and the bigger the crowd, the more canvas there is for your imagination. But really, that's literally what it is. It's like, more people, more opportunity, bigger stage.
More room.
That's it. Yeah. So, it's like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm very ambitious in what we can and should be going for, and we don't really plan on stepping back from it.
It's got to be the Principality Stadium next.
Surely.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is,
you laugh then, right?
Yeah.
But again, go back to like 20-year-old Winston, right?
Yeah.
Like, you fucking play in arenas fucking every week to sold out crowds where you've got the fucking best production in the world.
Yeah,
it's fucking
weird.
Mad.
It is. Like, it is really.
So the stadium's not.
I'm not going to laugh at it because I've given up laughing at things these days. But I mean, again, as well, this is not something where I always say, like, I believe there is something in our sound and especially in our show and what we bring as a band that most people on this planet would resonate with. Like, you can come to this show and be. So I'm seeing so many people over the age of 60 at these gigs. It's blowing my mind. There's people from like 8 on their parents' shoulders to like 60 in the front row. And I'm like, that's rad. And if I can see that just in the front row, there's no reason that this can't go a lot further. But it's just a matter of if people choose to listen to it or not and get exposed to it. And if that's the case, it just needs to be put out there more. It's not me just going, I deserve to be a rock star. It's you can't force things.
No.
You can't force things and it will go where it goes. But, I mean, put us in any venue on the planet to any amount of people and we will make that show worthy.
Correct.
Nice. Yes.
Correct.
Well, I want to dive into the new album a little bit. You said there that there's a chance for you to write a lot of songs you didn't think you'd ever get to on this one. And just like reading a lot of reviews before the album came out, I saw a lot of people mentioning that it feels like there's a lot of chains being lifted, a lot more freedom, a lot more being able to express yourself a lot more with this one. Is there anything you put that down to? Why do you feel you've been able to
talk and write a lot of things that you haven't before now?
A combination of multiple things. Basically, it can all be summed up by COVID and what that forced into the environment. For us, you have a combination of, first and foremost, time, the perception of time and the time literally that is available to you. Generally, on a writing cycle, the time is dictated by the amount of time you have between tours and albums and the need to put something out to continue touring and then the need to tour what you've put out. So, what all happens within that? When we started writing, gone. When the hell is tour coming back? We started writing 6 months into COVID when you realize, like, maybe, like, we'll be allowed out of our houses in, like, 7 months or something. And you're like, everything is done. So, you're just going to write because you enjoy writing music. There's no plan of touring coming back. Probably never going to be able to record something. So, you're literally just writing music and time is infinite. So, when you have that as a mindset, very, very different. Very, very different. Essentially, for us, it was like, well, if we're going to write, what are you going to do? And for us, it was like, no limitations. There's no reason for everything not to be 100% adventurous and expressive. Like, there's no corner cutting. There's no reason for anything being less than, yeah, what it should be. The touring cycle itself means that when you come to write, you have a lot of muscle memory, a lot of familiarity with being on the stage and a direct reaction to a certain thing. You've played certain songs 300 times. Like, and so you're used to a certain style. So, you will, like, that will lead you down familiar creative, like, neural pathways and stuff like that. Gone. That's cut. Also, the idea that, like, this could essentially be the only album you ever get to write again. Like, who knows? Like, you can't, at that point in time, we didn't even know if we were going to be able to record. So, yeah. If you get to write your last album, what's it going to be? And what was the last one? There was another really important one, but I can't remember what it is. But there's a fair bit that went into it, man. Yeah, it was all completely, but completely different. So, it was the album where there was just like, oh, skill, obviously. and that's not to say, like, all of a sudden, we got really fucking good and we made this sick album. It's not that. It's more that that there was literally songs on this record that, because of all those factors that I just laid out, we had the time, the place, the scope to go, all right, here's something that we haven't done before, that we've literally tried before, but we didn't have the skills at that point in time to put together. We could imagine something, but not quite well enough to be able to articulate it sonically. And within the time period that we had, with the skills that we had, didn't work. And this time, we're like, no excuses, learn the skills. Learn the skills. That was it. So,
did you record the album remotely then, or did you end up doing all
together? No, we did it in Australia. So, generally, we go to Canada. Our producer's from Arizona, and our engineer, his brother, George, producer, Dean, brother, is from Canada, and we fly up there and record, and obviously, we couldn't do it this time, so we flew them both to Australia and got a studio just outside of Byron and spent like 4 months doing the record, which was, my mission was like $40,000 for two airfares.
Whoa!
Yeah. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you said they live in America on Mars.
Yeah.
$40,000.
Yeah, dude, that's what that shit was. Like,
did he bring his whole studio in?
Yeah. And then we had to pay $7,000 to the government just so they could keep them in quarantine for 2 weeks each.
Oh.
No windows, just a room. And that was basically like jail. Like, Dean has serious mental, like, trauma from that shit. Oh, it was fucked up.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, recording in Australia, having to get all the gear and stuff, and get the studio ready to actually do. It was a big challenge. Big challenge for a record, man.
I know a lot of bands say a lot of sacrifices has made the put into a record, but definitely sounds like
there was a lot from everyone. We're like eternally grateful to George and Dean for like leaving their families in like on the other side of the world for 4 months to come over and make this record with us. Yeah. And we were like in a bit of a like frayed state at that point in time as well. Like, tensions were high, so they were kind of in the middle. They were kind of the buffer between, certain members of the band, like bouncing off each other.
Yeah. Oh, did the therapy come after the record?
Yeah.
Then? Okay.
It came after the record. All the record was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, this ain't working, boys. Did the record. Congratulations. Let's figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I was reading the production notes of the record, and something that I really caught me off guard. It says that there's additional whistles by Pierre of Simple Plan. Now,
I love it when people appear on other people's records and they're doing things where you're like, well, I wouldn't know that was Pierre from Simple Plan. Like, oh my God, is that Pierre from Simple Plan whistling?
That is correct.
I can't imagine those two worlds crossing over, and B, how does he end up whistling on the song? Like, how does that?
All I can think is he gets an email going, oh, Pierre, we'd love you on a song. He's like, fucking right. Yeah, I can't. I'm going to sing my fucking ass off.
I've always wanted to sound heavy. Super heavy.
Yeah. Whistling. Yeah. We're going to need a whistle.
Just give us a nice little whistle. Right?
Yeah, I'm crying.
That theory is way funnier than the reality. So, they're like, we're friends to start with, and also friends through George and Dean as well. They're mates, so we're all kind of associated to, like, I was in one of them, the music videos for Boom, I think. So right. I've actually got a guestie in there just like popping up. But like, yeah, that whole whistle refrain was just layer upon layer of people. Whoever could like nail it well, we kind of threw them all into the mix. So there's like
me. Anybody walking past it, go, can you whistle?
Dude, it literally started with like the original demo that Jeff showed me was like one of his mates who was there to like fix his toilet or something. Like, and he had like the acoustic like riff and an intro and then the whistle, and he was like, oh, it's Davo or something. And that's how we got hooked on it, because we couldn't, like, before the song even existed, like, I've had that damn whistle stuck in my head for 2 years, man. Like, wow. That was a long time ago that he showed us that. And you just walk away and you just be strolling around the house and start whistling. You'd be like, is that fucking riff again? And it still happens now. Like, we do it, like, we rehearse that song in rehearsals and I walk away whistling and I'm like, whistling my own fucking song. And you just hear it popping off amongst all the crew.
Yeah.
Whoever is there at sound check is like, walks away whistling this thing.
Sign of
like,
a good one, isn't it?
So yeah, it's you, like, yeah, old grey whistle test or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's nuts. So, yeah, Pierre's on there, fucking turning it out.
Yeah.
I love the idea of him going, oh, I've sent this vocal over as well. And like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but, yeah, we'll do Simple Parkway later on. Later on, when we go on a joint tour. That'd be a fucking weird tour. Yeah, wouldn't it? Simple Plan and Parkway Drive.
Good, though. I'd love to see that.
Simple Parkway, like.
Surely it'd be banging.
It's on, but yeah.
Is there anyone else that's like over your career that there's always been like a surprise reaction that you maybe you've worked with or like a friendship with? Because you featured on a few people's tracks before. You've had a couple of features on Parkway stuff. Is there ever like anything that comes up and people are like, oh, I didn't expect that to be a thing?
I tell you what, the probably the strangest and funnest one is like, and we've actually been doing it on this tour. So our tour manager, Oizy, is German, and he also manages a German rapper called Casper, who is fucking awesome, really nice guy. And when we did the Viva the Underdogs like live stuff, he was like, dude, you should do some German tracks. I was like, yeah, why the fuck not? So Casper actually translated like 3 of our songs into German, and then I went and tracked them in Australia, and he did like, he rewrote guest verses on Shadowboxing. So he's got like, there's this like German Parkway at Shadowboxing with him on it. And then this tour, we did it live at all the German shows. So he was on tour with us, just dropping Schattenboxen every night with us. So it's like a full like Parkway German rap collaboration that you really wouldn't see. It's just fucking sick, man. Yeah. It's so good. Like, A, awesome dude. Like, we've never had anyone come into our camp and click like that guy did, in terms of like, you see, it just feels like he's been with us forever. His vibe on stage, the way he gets it, his voice, everything about it, everything he gave to us has been awesome. And it was like the last thing you'd expect. Like, yo, Parkway and some German rap. Dream combination. That's exactly what you think when you think Parkway. But fuck, man, it's been like, it's been so sick. And having like being able to do it live has been so, so rad. It's just a completely different energy and a completely different direction, but at the same time, so right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd that. Imagine being a German fan, that's like us just being in the crowd and all of a sudden, like,
I can't even. Someone throwing a whole bunch of consonants at you.
Yeah. Somebody being sick on stage. Somebody being sick through soup on stage. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's like seeing fucking, I don't know, Slipknot doing a Welsh song.
Yeah.
They'd be fucking mental, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It would, yeah. Limp Bizkit rapping in Welsh, though.
Break stuff here. No,
but like, how was that for you, A, learning the lyrics in German?
Did you learn it, or were you just copying the sounds and then therefore not exactly sure what you said?
No, I knew what I said, but like, I still can't speak German. Like, I know those songs, but it took a lot. Like, that was when I was like, fuck, man, I should have tried this like 15 years ago. Should have learned German when we first started doing. But like, that was actually a challenge. When we recorded those, that was like, it took about 3 days per song because I have to break it down into the syllables, then stick them back together. Then even once I said it, like, I had not only his translation, but I'd send it back to Oisy, but I also had my sister-in-law who's from Germany sitting in on the session. So she'd be like, you're pronouncing it wrong. And we'd just be like, that take sounds sick. And George would be like, that's so sick. And then we both just turned to her and she'd just be like,
and she's like, you mispronounced death wrong. And you've ended up saying puppy.
Yeah, that's it. Basically, she's just like, nothing. Makes no sense.
I bring you puppy.
Yeah. But the thing that amazed me was like, I haven't sung these songs in 3 years. Like, that was the last time I was in the studio before the album. And as soon as we came back to rehearsing them, it was still just in there. Like, as soon as it was in there, and I can see the words in my brain, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Kind of know a bit of German. I'm not going to be rocking up to the chip shop or the kebab shop after this and asking them for a fluent order, but you know what? Yeah, I can tell them welcome to a world of pain. It's great.
I do that, yeah. What do you know in German? Yeah. Welcome to a world of pain. And that's about it.
I also love the idea of someone like traveling to come and see you in Germany, not speaking a word of German, going to the gig.
And I'm going, what the fuck? Yeah.
What is this one?
Yeah. Have I learned German? Have I been in Germany so long I've learned German? Yeah. What's going on there? You sound like you're German.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mad.
Oh. It's the same, but different. Something's different about this.
Well, how hard was it? Well, like, when he translated it into German, did it fit?
Pretty damn well. That's nice. Not like word for word, but it's pretty damn good. And it sounds sick. Like, the German language goes hard in metal. I'm really shocked that it's not just done more. Like, obviously, it sucks that it's so limiting to just German-speaking countries, like, in terms of worldwide appeal, because that language is, like, is made for, like, aggression of some kind. So it sounds sick. Like, all of the songs that we did were like, they sound so fucking good, man. They sound better than the originals. Like, it's, can't do them everywhere, but, like yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah. While we're talking about kind of going through memory lane for a lot of stuff, there's one tour you guys did about 10, 11 years ago that always seems to, the poster for it always seems to resurface on the internet with people going, oh, this is a dream tour now, where I think it was you Bring Me the Horizon, Architects, The Devil Wears Prada, and
heard of any of them.
While She Sleeps did a couple of those shows around the UK as well. I mean, obviously, just looking at how all of have like grown over that last 10 years must be crazy to think back on, but also really cool to see that you've all been able to make it, because I'm sure there's so many bands you've toured with over the years that no longer kind of doing this anymore.
You want to know when everything went wrong? It's right there, man. it's sick. Yeah, like there, that was a wild one, dude. Like it's and yeah, it, like I don't know, I don't even know what to say about stuff like that, because it makes me start. Like I see all of them bands doing what they do, and I'm just stoked. Like, I'm just stoked that the thing, it is really cool to see people that you have history with and who are talented and who have their individual drive succeed. That's it. And it's a long time. Like, the fact that I remember that feeling like a long time when we did that tour, that we'd already existed for a long time. And now it's like that was halfway through this band's career, and everything for all of those bands has gone in completely different directions and still progressed so far, and that you can still trace it back to something like that. And you're like, It makes me proud of, like, not only what we do, but to know that those people did exactly what they wanted to do and were relentless in the same way, which is really sick. Like, I can even remember back then, like, that was on the There Is a Hell album launch, and even then, like, I can remember talking to Vegan and Nichols and stuff, and like I knew where Bring Me the Horizon were going sound wise then, in relation to where they are now. And like, I knew that was where the trajectory was, and everyone else was just going, metal's fucking sick. And I was like, it is, but I know that these guys are going to do something completely fucking different. That like where their brain is at is so many steps ahead of where people consider them to be at this point in time. And yeah, lo and behold, look where they are. So it's neat to have that inside scoop and be able to see, like, you can see like where the stars are going. Like, people see the shooting star, but you get to see the track and know where it's expected to be. And very early on with those guys, it's like, fuck, they're gone.
That to me sounds like a 2025 stadium tour.
Just be Bring Me the Horizon playing a Bring Me the Horizon show.
No, not at all. No, I don't know. I think that could be that would be the one.
I tell you what, you get it happening.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to take a chaise in stadium. I've got chaise in stadiums. I haven't. I've got nothing to do with stadiums. I just want to see this happen.
This tour brought you by Stadiums Wales.
It's like you've bought a stadium.
Sean Smith presents. live at the Principality Stadium. Yeah. Sean Smith presents.
But with that as well, I believe next year is actually the 20th year of Parkway.
Yep.
I mean, how does that make you feel?
Old? Dude, my 40th birthday was on the day 3 of production for this tour, and I was like, oh, damn. She getting old. just good.
Do you feel old? Like, do you feel old? Because, like,
oh, fuck no. I'm in the best shape of my life. Yeah. Am I killing it? I'm stoked. Zero fucks given, man. Like, I'm stoked to be 40, dude. It's great. Like, I'm proud of every single thing we've done, and I'm proud to survive. Like, just as a person, I feel more settled as a person now than I ever did in life in general, which is awesome. But I'm really stoked that the band's gone on this long. It's just really cool, and I'm really stoked that it's a continuing. Like, we've always said, like, if we didn't care about this, we'd just stop doing it. And I guess, like, when we had everything finally explode, we were like, who wants to keep doing this? And everyone was like, yeah, but just not like this. So everyone obviously is still in the same boat with that, which is sick. But it's not just that. Like, it's still, I've got more hunger and drive behind it now than I ever did, which is awesome, because like, that means we can take advantage of the opportunities given to us. And the opportunities, like I said, is just more people and bigger stages and more chance for your imagination to just go all over the place. Nice. Which is sick.
Is there anything in particular that you've maybe thought about how you'd like to celebrate the anniversary?
You're just like saying, oi, are you doing Parkway 20th?
No, I mean, you could be like planning something random. You want to?
Yeah, we're thinking at this point in time. Yeah. Like, it's really weird. We're in a really strange position, because like, originally we did have a lot of plans. Like, we generally have like 5 years worth of plans in the pipeline. And then COVID just like smooshed them up and just kind of spat them out the side of its mouth, which was interesting. So now it's just like everything's changed a little bit. And you just, we're just reassessing timelines and what we want to do and where we want to be and what we can do. And yeah, like it's just shifted things out around in slightly different ways. So I'm sure we're going to do something. I'm just not sure when and how and what it'll be. I really don't know what it'll, like, I don't know any of those things. I mean, we have a lot of options. We really do. So, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear that. But as we kind of start to wind down on the conversation now, one thing I wanted to bring up was that I know you said, like, try not to laugh at these kind of things now, but I think Parkway and yourself are in a position where a lot of younger bands are looking up to you as maybe one of the kind of fourth founders of modern day metal.
Yeah, ye oldie metal.
I was just the same age as I and me.
Renaissance metal.
But no, I was just wondering, like, taking yourself back to the younger days, is there anyone you remember giving you really big advice or that was a big help to you early on that really resonated with you or stuck? Or
I'm shaking my head. No? Very no. We did it all like, it was a lot of self-drive. But that doesn't mean I don't have things to like share with other people.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, no, like we honestly were like, the way we did it was like survival. So it was survival and passion. That's how. That's literally what we operated on. And there's a lot to be said for those attributes because like, it's got us to where we are. But like we always played what we wanted to play because we enjoyed playing it. That was the only test for quality. Because honestly, we didn't expect anything from it. And when things came from it, it was because people resonated with something that was genuine. And that's what art is at the end of the day for all of the metalcore tags and the fact that it can be a slogan on a t-shirt or the silliness of what metal is actually capable of in the first place. There's genuine passion behind it and that will translate as far as everything else, like the drive part of things, like focus, like it's focus and drive. And that's been very, very relentless for us. Like we've taken every opportunity and used it like it's the last one we're going to get. We've taken every bit of responsibility we could, probably to our detriment to a degree. Like there's, we could have been kinder to ourselves, which I think is something that people should take into account. That this is a very hard, demanding job to get anywhere. A very hard, demanding passion, and you need to be kind to yourself and your friends, and look out for each other and get help when you need it. But that being said, people are capable of a lot more than they think when they're in a band, like generally. And those things that you think you can't do, you probably can. And someone's going to charge you a shit ton of money if you don't try. So, and if you don't have to spend a shit ton of money getting someone else to do something you could do, it's going to help you do another album or go on another tour or spend a little bit more time in a studio to make something a bit better or sharpen another aspect of like, of that dream that you have. And that goes a long, long way over the scheme of things, because it's all those little things you shave off the side, which actually mount up on the other side of things. And the more that you can keep within, yeah, your creative camp, the more complete your creative vision is going to be.
Yeah. And beautiful. Pretty good to hear. And with all that, obviously we mentioned that this is the last day of the European tour.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's loads of things you've missed kind of doing this, but I mean, if you could just sum it up, what's kind of some of the things, really, like the little details of touring?
Sweaty meat in Europe. Sweaty meat.
Catering. Nice. Yeah. I've just missed all my mates, to be honest. And there's a lot of them. Like I said, like, we have a massive touring party. And I really, like, I was separated from my friends and family on the other side of the world while you guys were going through it a lot worse than we were as well. Like, Australia was a lot safer. And I was like, shit, I hope my friends are okay. And it's been really good hanging out again, really, and doing this thing again. Like, it's like, I see the passion that they put into the shows. They get just as much out of like a good show as we do, which is awesome. And like walking up to go on stage and just going, yep, we fucking got this. And then walking off at the end of the night and everyone just going, well fucking done to every single person. That's what it's about, man. It's just a team mentality. It's sick. I've missed it.
Class.
Yeah. Well, awesome. All that has been beautiful to hear. before we let you go, Winston, is there anything else you'd like to just...
Let him go. We're not holding him down.
No, we're not.
Before I take the binders off your wrist.
We've got him in a corner in a room you've provided. Yeah. So thank you very much. But no, if there's anything you'd like to mention, plug or anything, please.
Nah, it's just good to be back. Cheers for having me.
No,
I know it's anything that's like this last 3 years have taught me. It's like how much we love doing what we do. How grateful we are to be able to do it again. Like it's rad.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to do this with us again, for being so open and just having a laugh with us. So thank you so much.
Cheers.
Lovely.
You're listening to Sapping Podcast.
Yes. Woo! Fucking bonza, as they say over there. That was an absolutely wonderful chat with a beautiful human being. Thank you very much to Winston McCall of Parkway Drive and Parkway Drive for still existing.
Yes, I'm very glad they do. But that conversation was just, it showed a bit of everything. All the sorts of emotions. Was really deep, was really funny. We were literally cry laughing at one point. Who would have believed that Pierre from Simple Plan?
Imagine being Pierre from Simple Plan. Email from who? ParkwayDrive@gmail.com. Subject, we want you on our record. Subject body. Dear Pierre, or good day, Pierre. Of course. Good day, Pierre. We would love your musical talent on one of the Parkway Drive songs. Is there any chance of that happening? Reply, simpleplan11@gmail.com. Subject, Edda. RE, vocals of Parkway Drive. Subject body, Dear Parkway Drivers a Collective. Fucking right, I'll come and sing on your songs. Email in, back from Parkway Drive. About that. Yeah, but it's just fucking mad. It's like, imagine being asked to whistle. Like, if somebody got in touch with me, Sean, we want it on a record. I go, they want mediocre screaming. That's what it is. Pierre's got to be thinking, they want fucking delightful Canadian fucking vocals in, don't I? Nah, man, whistling.
It's like having you just doing a clap on a song.
Yeah. Yeah. That's free friend to Shikari if they want to use that on any remixes. What a fucking great chat. The ups and downs, the highs, the lows, the fucking insight into the touring machine that is Parkway Drive. 50 people on tour. People just think five of fucking Parkway Drive just turn up in a van and play that gig and that fire's there every night. Nah, man. That's a fucking whole company of a business. It's fucking... People don't see this, and this is why I love doing this shit.
Yeah, literally. And honestly, their team is so helpful to us. So shout out to everyone in that touring crew and Tanner and Emma Van Dyke for sorting this out for us. Just a really nice time to remember that their new album, Darker Still, is available to buy, purchase, and stream worldwide right now. And hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more Parkway news in the not-so-distant future. Mentioning Pierre from Simple Plan. Of course, he's previous guest of the podcast on episode 178. So if you want to go and check out some stories about some really hit Canadian songs, go and check that out. But Sean, you've got a busy rest of the month coming up with your band Raiders and a couple of DJ sets.
Yes. Thank you very much. Though I'm so eager. October 30th, my band Raiders are supporting the Nightmares with an artist called Foxglove as well at a free show.
Ooh.
Free. Not three. I haven't pronounced three wrong. Free. Free, as in fucking nothing. It's nothing. Come along. It's in the pub, October 30th. Come and support the Nightmares. They've got a new record out on Equal Vision that will be fucking brilliant. And then October 31st, which is All Hallows Eve. That's Halloween. My band Raiders are playing with Downcast, Haggard Cat, and there's a band called Big Drink playing.
Is it?
And I don't know what they sound like. They could be the greatest band of all time.
How big's the drink? That's what I want to know.
They've called themselves Big Drink, and I'm not accepting that. But also DJing that night is myself, the Deadbolt DJs, and Creeper. Creeper are DJing.
All of them.
Manchester, October 31st at the Breadshed. Get your tickets now at redcardinalmusic.com or something like that. Have a look at Deadbolt. Yeah, is it at Deadbolt or at Deadbolt Club? One of them. Just fucking look for Deadbolt. Look for my long head and then click that link and then buy tickets and come and see because it's going to be a fucking lot. I might even dress up for it.
Oh, not no, a promise. Come on. Not a promise. You never dress up. Come on, don't lie to the people here, Sean. But if you...
The thing is, what can I do? What can I dress up with this mullet? It's literally the fella from Lost Boys. That's it.
Eddie Guerrero.
I haven't got a facial hair, have I? I mean, I've got the
Dominic Mysterio, wrestling lad.
That's true. Plus, if I put a mask on my dad, I'd go and kick fuck out of him.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason whatsoever, at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram is the best place to do it. Ask us some questions. Did we predict the return of Blink-182 with Tom DeLonge? Yes, we did. Episode 182. There's a whole roundtable about it and everything.
Obvious, isn't it?
Remember to support us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sappening. Every week, we try and upload extra content for people to check out and a lot of stuff behind the scenes. By signing up, you get included into our wonderful community where there's updates on the regular and you get to meet your new best friends, go into gigs with each other, and it's just a really wholesome time. That's patreon.com/Sappening. And if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we need to thank. But as every week, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sappening Podcast Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tiers.
Yes. Congratulations to Blink-182 for getting back together. I am very, very jealous. Come and do a fucking podcast then. Any of you. I'll take Robocop without his mask. I'll take fucking Mark Hoppus. I'll take the drummer from Red Hot Chili Peppers, whoever he is, who's just joined. I saw a photo and I was like, that's definitely Chad, isn't it?
Will Ferrell.
Turns out it's Tom DeLonge, apparently. Oh. I can't believe it. Alkaline Trio should be supporting them also on that tour.
Yeah,
that would have been a funny announcement.
They should have been like, plus special guests. Alkaline Trio. It would have just been really
Matt
funny.
Skiba. Matt Skiba. Sitting on his own, crying. Oh, I hope he's all right. He's bound to be all right. He's an Alkaline Trio, and he fucking hell. What am I hope. massive loser, Sean Smith, right? Just hoped that I'd imagine well-off musician Matt Skiba is all right. Of course he's fucking all right. He can write and play guitar and fucking... He's still in Alkaline Trio, the jammy bastard. I wish I was in Alkaline... Anyway, thank you very much to these people. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Thank you very much to these people. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Paul Urshfield, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Natasha Morris, Mitch Perry, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Kat Bess, and Dana Lasnova, Scott Jones, Jenny Robson, Murray Grimwood, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Stephen Aston, M. Evans Roberts, Caroline Robinson, Kate Puttock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Craig Harris, Kelly Cannon, Jenny Munster, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Gary White, Khalila Keane, Adam King of the Ghost Parslow, whose band is playing October 30th in the pub in Newport. It didn't say that, but I've added that bit on. Ollie, Tom is only coming back so he can be on Sappening Podcast Amesbury. I think that's the reason, to be honest. I didn't want to say anything, but... Josh, it's my missus' birthday next week and she's been leaving jewellery catalogues all over the house. So I've got her a magazine rack. Hey! Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Katrina Robinson, Reese Bowden, Kate Stevenson, Connor Lewins, Kyle making t-shirts, making songs and fighting around the world, David Smith. Thank you very much to all of those. As Morgan mentioned, all the people in the description, all the people who've ever been a Patreon member. If you're thinking about becoming a Patreon member, for the love of God, come and do it, man. Come and do it.
Yes, come on. You all have a laugh listening to this, so just help the boys out, innit, man?
Come on, man.
Patreon.com/Sappening. click subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. If this is your first episode checking us out, let us know. And we'll be back each and every Friday with a new episode, a new guest, and a lot of laughs. And episode 204 is going to be someone who's new on the scene, and we're really enjoying their music as of late.
Ooh, yes. Teaser. Ooh, teasy, teasy, teasy. Yes. Yes. Thank you, as always, Parkway Drive, Emma Van Dytes, Tanner, all of Parkway Drive's crew for putting on a fucking hell of a show. There was at least four different flames, and I like that. Thank you very much, and hopefully see you next week.
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.